Welcome to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb. Right now we're going to talk with Rafael Cruz of Grace for America. Rafael Cruz is also the father of Ted Cruz. Rafael, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Jerry.
All right. Now, you grew up in Cuba, and you are a lover of freedom in America and want to make sure that we see freedom in America restored. Tell us briefly about your own background in Cuba.
Well, Jerry, I was born in Cuba, grew up under a very oppressive military dictatorship in Cuba.
And that was before Castro.
That was before Castro, yes. And as a result of that military oppression, a revolution started in the high schools and the universities. And so I was involved in that revolution and was, as a result of that, captured and imprisoned and tortured. But by the grace of God, I was released and was able to leave Cuba on a student visa and came to the United States in August of 1957.
So you were working. You were working.
Castro was going to be a good guy.
Yeah, you were working for Castro, hoping he was going to be a good guy. All right, and then what happened?
He had presented himself as a liberator, as a freedom fighter, and we didn't know any better.
Yeah. Okay, and then what happened?
Well, I came to the University of Texas in 1957. And in 1959, when he took over, I went back to Cuba in August of 59, and boy, I got a shock, because the same man that had been talking about hope and change was now talking about how the rich were evil, about how they oppressed the poor, and about the need to redistribute the wealth. They began confiscating private property, began attacking freedom of the press, and shutting down newspapers and television stations and radio stations. Then began attacking freedom of religion. For instance, they would have soldiers come to a kindergarten class and tell the kids, close your eyes and pray to God for candy. No candy. Now pray to Fidel for candy. And very quietly, those soldiers would place candy on the desk, trying to convince them that government was their God.
Yeah, this whole idea of government being the God, I think that's an idea that really threatens our liberty, even here in modern America. How do you feel now, jumping ahead all these years later to where we are in current America?
Absolutely. The whole concept of the attack on religion that we see in America today is precisely with the same objective, to have people not be dependent on God, not to rely on God, but to rely on almighty government.
Wow. All right. So going back to Castro's Cuba for a moment, I once read, and it may be the source of this is that book called Against All Hope, but I read that in the early days when Che Guevara lined up all those dissidents and they shot them just before they died, many of the Cubans who were being killed yelled out in Spanish, long live Christ the King and down with Fidel, something like that. And that this happened so often that they actually put pieces of cloth or whatever in their mouths so that they couldn't speak before they were shot and killed. Are you familiar with that at all?
No, I am not.
Okay.
I am not. I was unaware of that. I don't doubt it, but I'm unaware of that. But what I am aware of is that Che Guevara, who was in charge of those tribunals and those firing squads where people were executed without a trial, that he was such a bloodthirsty murderer that he loved to actually pull the trigger himself in a lot of those firing squads.
Wow.
And he boasted that he personally had killed over 1,000 people in those firing squads.
Wow. You know,
he was one of the greatest mass murderers has ever lived, and yet you see kids in America wearing Che Guevara T-shirts.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's just it boggles the mind. Okay, now what would you like to see as far as renewal in America? What does America need to do to get back to God and godly principles.
We need to get back to the principles that have made America great. I mean, you know, Jerry, this is the only country that was founded on the Word of God. The framers were so committed men of God that they, if you look at the Constitution and the Declaration, all those fundamental principles in both of those documents are based on the Word of God. We need to get back to those Judeo-Christian principles that made America great. Get back to the rule of law. Get back to limited government. Get back to honoring the Constitution instead of trampling on the Constitution. And, you know, what we have seen today is a totally lawless administration that basically disregards the rule of law, disregards separation of power, disregards the Constitution. We have a president that is operating by executive action, by fiat, like an imperial president.
All right, what are your thoughts on amnesty?
Well, amnesty is fundamentally wrong. And it is unconstitutional and illegal. What Obama tried to do with giving amnesty to some 4 million people just a few months ago is totally lawless. He has no authority to do that. And he is acting contrary to the law and contrary to the Constitution.
Okay, now what is the solution when we have so many immigrants who are here illegally that are still here, you know, millions of them? What's
well,
the
let me say
answer?
This. When we
yes.
talk about illegal immigration, the very, very first thing we need to address before we address anything else is securing the border. Securing the border is a question of national security. It's not just people cutting across the border looking for a job. In all probability, we have drugs crossing the border. We have drug cartels crossing the border. We certainly have human trafficking. We have gangs crossing the border. And it would be naive to think that terrorists are also not crossing the border.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a matter of national security. And any talk of anything else without securing the border would be a total mistake. Look what happened when Obama announced that he was going to grant amnesty to some 4 million people. There was an influx of tens of thousands of kids to the border trying to get in on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
We must secure the border before we even have a conversation about anything else. And it is a matter of national security.
But, of course, when you bring this kind of thing up, Rafael, sometimes people would say, oh, you're just anti-Hispanic. But obviously you're not anti-Hispanic because you are one.
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, you know, when my son and I were campaigning in South Texas, where the majority of the population are Americans, born in America, but of Hispanic descent, of Mexican descent, but some of them had lived in Texas for several generations. Basically, all of those people were opposed to amnesty. They believe in the rule of law. And it's fundamentally really unfair to give preference to people that have come here illegally over those that have waited in line for years going through the legal process.
Okay, so what would you say to those who say, okay, well, how do we then, at least going forward, how do we deal with those who are here now illegally going forward?
I think we cannot even talk about anything going forward
until we get the border.
Secure the border. Anything else would be opening the gates even more.
Okay, all right. We're talking right now with Rafael Cruz. Again, he is the father of Ted Cruz. I'm curious about, Rafael, your own personal Christian journey. How did you go from, you know, growing up in Cuba? How did you become a born-again Christian in the short version?
Unfortunately, I did not find Christ until I was 36 years old.
Okay. How did that happen?
As a matter of fact, I had left my wife and son in Canada in late 1974, come to Houston by myself, and in April of 1975, I was invited to a Bible study at the home of a man who had sold me a computer in Canada. I had nothing better to do. I went to this Bible study. To this day, I have no idea what the Bible story was about. What really impressed me was that after the Bible study, they had a time of prayer. And everybody I noticed had prayer requests, everybody had needs, everybody had problems, but they all had a peace that I could not understand. As a matter of fact, there was a woman who lived alone with her son. Her son used to beat her to get drugs, to get money for drugs.
Yeah.
And yet she had a peace that I couldn't understand at all. How could she have that peace in the midst of that situation she was living in?
Right.
It was that peace that the Bible calls a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Right.
That led me to believe that they had something that I did not have and I really, really needed in my life. So it was that peace that opened the door. Then after I was leaving that Bible story, I studied, the wife, Betty, gave me a little booklet, and she said, why don't you take this booklet with you, and could you come the next Monday? So I went back, and I said, yes, I'll come next Monday, and I did come, and she said to me, the booklet was the four spiritual laws.
Yes.
The next Monday I came, and she said, what did you think of that booklet? And I said to her, oh, that is too simple. It can't be that easy. Well, she didn't have an answer. She was a new Christian. But she said to me, would you come tomorrow night? My pastor is going to be at our home tomorrow night. Could you come at 7 o'clock tomorrow? And I said, sure. So I went to her house the next day. It was on a Tuesday, 7 o'clock. And you got to realize I was a scientist. I spent 4 hours arguing with this preacher. I mean, I thought I had all the answers. So we were talking until 11 o'clock at night. I remember at 11 o'clock at night, the last question I asked this preacher, I said to him, let me ask you a question. How about that man up in the mountains of Tibet who's never heard about Jesus? And this pastor very wisely didn't go chasing that rabbit, or we would have been arguing another 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
He looked at me in the eye and he said, to tell you the truth, I don't know about that man up in the mountains of Tibet who's never heard about Jesus, but you heard about Jesus. What's your excuse?
Yeah.
And at that point, let me tell you, Jerry, at that point, the eyes of my understanding were open.
Yeah.
The eyes of my understanding were open, and I fell to my knees,
yeah. And
I surrendered my life to Christ. April 15th, 1975, at 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And it revolutionized my life.
And what about Ted? Ted Cruz?
Well,
short version. We only have about a minute and a half left.
Ted came to the Lord when he was 8 years old at a summer camp of our church.
Wow.
He surrendered his life to Christ, and he's been walking with Christ ever since. He's a member of First Baptist Church of Houston, Texas, and faith is extremely important to him. I don't think it's coincidental that his announcement for president was preceded by a worship service, and it was at Liberty University, yeah. The largest Christian university in the world, and he was unapologetic about his faith and about the importance of Jesus Christ in his life.
Wow. That's fascinating. We're talking right now with Rafael Cruz, again, the father of Ted Cruz. Do you have any last statement, about maybe 30 seconds?
I want to encourage every Christian in America. We are at a crossroads. We need to make sure we restore America to the constitutional principles, the biblical principles that have made America great. It is imperative that every Christian, every conservative vote for people that uphold the Word of God and the principles that made America great. My son, Ted Cruz, is such a man. God bless you. God bless America.
All right. Again, Rafael Cruz, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you now.
Great to be with you, Gary.
All right.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.